bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. All right, I'm here with my buddy Alex this week. Alex and I were talking before we were recording, which, number one, Alex thought we were already recording for the 10 minutes we had been talking before I just hit record. Number two, Alex and I were talking about some points that we can talk about, and he goes, I don't know why I'm doing this. I just volunteered to be funny, I guess, and people want to hear my voice. And you also have to know that because I'm doing these Zoom calls, it's been fun to see people, and while you can't see them, I can tell you that Alex currently has a SpongeBob background right now, which, Alex, you said you can learn a lot about someone from their background.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my supervisors is a little stiff, and I said it in the most kind and loving way possible, but today she showed up for a meeting where we were like selecting all the RAs, so it's super formal, and she was sitting at the diner at Bob's Burgers. That's pretty dope, because I don't know, I never really expected that from her.
Alex, so you're really just here just because? You still don't know why you volunteered for this?
I think that, like with everything else in my life, my college degree, my college, like my university, the color of my hair, like I saw it. Like, that's an amazing idea. And then I clicked the button, and then here we are 5 days later, and my hair is yellow. And I'm on camera with you. That's like 2 weeks later, right? So, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it. I saw it. I clicked it. Here we are.
Alex, you must be getting bored in quarantine, because for people that don't know, Alex bleached his hair out of the blue. I have not bleached my hair. I told Alex I would, but I want my hair to grow out a little bit more. Alex, you must be bored. Just bleaches their hair out of the blue?
Well, I mean, me, of course.
Right.
And you too, if you have like any sense of adventure in your soul, no shame. Quarantine has been super boring. And like, at first it sounds awesome. I'm going to stay at home and play video games all day. And then video games got boring, which is a word I never thought I would say. And like, it's so bizarre. So like, if you know me or not, like for years and years, I didn't believe in sleep. And so I'd be up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, get up like 8:30, go to work, survive off caffeine. And then when this quarantine started, I was doing a thing like a weekend. I was so bored. I still going to bed at like 9 or 10 o'clock, sleeping all night. And now even sleeping's boring. And so I'm staying up till 2, 3, or 4 and just absolutely hating myself. But caffeine makes it a little bit better.
I agree. It is very boring. And I don't know if I can take another 2 weeks of this, though. I also said that a week ago of, I don't know if I can take another 3 weeks of this. So, but at least we're progressing.
The bad news for you, friend, is I'm pretty sure it's going to be another 3 months of this.
I know.
I'm gone.
I know. That's right. That was at the best news. And of course, as things change and progress, I'm sure it's going to be longer as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, you look at the projections and you hope that they'll be good. This is the life, this is the world we live in, and it's a little less than perfect.
What is your computer dinging for at 6:40? Well, this would be 7:45 PM your time. What is your computer dinging and reminding you of?
So I think it's a combination of like denial and just like extreme laziness about my Outlook calendar.
Oh, okay.
Like 15 minutes from now, I should be doing a staff meeting with like 22 RAs and a graduate assistant hall director, like teaching them about people, trying to wrap up the end of the school year, like making sure that the 570 18-year-olds I'm responsible for are doing well. But they're not here. It's just me, which is like so weird sometimes, like looking at what our jobs are, and like you have this like identity of like I live with and I support all these kids, like when life is hard, and then they all aren't here and life is hard and they don't know what I'm doing. I usually get paid to help people, but I can't help you when you're not here.
Alex, you mentioned gaming. You're a big PC gamer, correct?
I'm an equal opportunity gamer, personally. I would say that I invest most of my time into Riot games, you know, way too much League of Legends, some Legends of Runeterra, Just like any time that I feel my blood sugar, like my blood sodium is a little bit low. But I think that one of the great parts about like being an adult and like not having kids or a dog, which costs way too much money, is that I have a lot of expendable income. I have an Xbox and a PlayStation and a Switch, like hella board games, and a wife who's stuck here with me. So I would say that I play on at least like two different consoles every day or computer, probably averaging 3 or 4 hours of game time. Like a couple different varieties. Last weekend we learned how to play Ticket to Ride.
Great game.
You know, it seems so hard. Like the instruction book is like fucking 12 pages. But honestly, it only took like 5 minutes to learn how to play, so that's pretty dope.
What is it that got you into gaming? Because I know you're a big gamer, and you just mentioned you have a lot of different consoles, and both console and non-console. You're doing all sorts of games. What is it that got you into all that?
You know, I think that like, well, one, I don't super love to do things, right? Like I'm super lazy.
Stoop kid.
Right, I'm a stoop kid. I don't like to leave my house. I'm super out of shape. I don't like to be active. And so like that was the thing that I could do like at home and kind of on my own pacing. Similar to like I had this really weird sleep schedule, so like when all my friends are asleep, but like, that's not. It's just a form of storytelling. I love to read and like follow stories that way. And so like obviously like League of Legends, for all the terrible game that it is, doesn't really have a story, but like a lot of the like larger world games have like a really great story to follow along with. I think that's like super neat. Like it's just like an opportunity for expression for the person who created it. That like doesn't necessarily correlate in the same way like television or movies.
Would you say? And I don't know if this is the case, but would you say that's helped you like maintain some friendships in a way, in terms of you have this group of people that you game with that you may not talk to necessarily on a regular basis otherwise?
I'm gonna say yes to the first part of that and no to the second part of that. Like, I think okay. Video games have totally helped me like maintain some different relationships. I don't think that they like help me connect with people I don't talk to otherwise necessarily, because like when I was at Point with you, obviously like the people I spent like the largest portion of my time with, because they also hated sleep, whereas they in Victoria. And so now that I'm in Kentucky, Isaiah is in Indiana now, and Victoria's over in Kentucky. Or no, Victoria's in California. I got a buddy, Corey, in Nebraska, who I've only met in person one time. But I talk to them every week, if not like multiple times a week. And like that's just a really cool thing, I think, to be like connected to them in that way. I got a buddy from high school who was in the Air Force, and he was in California too. Now he's back in Indiana too, because everybody loves Indiana and not being able to buy cold beer because they're stupid. And so him too, like we would hop on and play some games with him and talk to him that way. And I think that that's been really neat. Like obviously our lives are different and we don't necessarily have as much as common as we used to. But like we're both super into certain games. And so like, that's the thing that brings us together to connect. I think that's pretty neat.
You know, and you talking about where different people live makes me think about a conversation we had maybe about a week ago. You go, I hate Central Time. I love being on Eastern Time a lot more. What is this qualm that you have with Central Time? It was like this big enemy to you when we talked about it.
I think I'm so used to Eastern Time. And I also think that like, the world is set up to favor Eastern time. Like, I'm sorry that the population of Central time is small. But like, what is prime time? Obviously, it's based on Eastern time. So I get the football games that come on after work. I don't have to rush home. The new episode of Big Brother is on like 9 o'clock for me after the kids go to bed. Not that I have any kids, right? But like, the world is based on Eastern time. Essentially, you're just an afterthought. You're like potatoes. I know. No one cares.
But it's also nice when sports are done an hour earlier. My show's done an hour earlier, so I don't have to stay up as late. But then again, I'm not staying up until 3, 4 a.m. like you are watching the sunrise again.
Oh, I mean, that's true. But like, if you're going to go at that argument, you might as well book it over Mountain Time, Pacific Time, or just say, fuck it, I don't know, I'm watching on demand.
That's true.
But not, that actually hurts my own argument as much as it hurts yours. So
yeah,
scratch that from the record. Just go back to I like Eastern Time better because it comes second in the alphabet. It's after Central.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with liking it better, but we'll go with that.
I think another reason why I like
Eastern Time
and you like Central Time, it's sort of like a correlation with our names. Like Eastern Time and Alex both start with vowels, but Central Time and Trent start with consonants.
Now you're just,
start that way. It's just logic. Like I would, of course, like Central Time.
Now you're just pulling stuff.
It's a skill. It's a skill I've long developed.
Alex, talking about sports, I know you're a big sports fan. Are you a Browns fan? Am I making that up?
Man, you're making me sound really bad today. In all things in life, I think, like, what is the most painful thing that I could like? And I think, so, like, the most painful thing that I could like is being a fan of really bad teams. And so, like, I'm from Ohio, and, like, I suppose my Ohio team is it would be the Browns. I'm a little bit closer to them, and so my dad would watch when he watched pro ball. But also, I'm really a sucker for the Raiders, so we're also a trash-tastic team. Like, that color scheme is amazing. Right, like black and silver, it's a classic. I got a little sticker on my window. People talk trash to me all the time, but you can't help what you like.
I mean, you can.
Well, I don't know. Who's your favorite team again?
Well, I mean, I hate it, but I like the Lions because I grew up in Michigan, and then the Patriots. Well, hold on, let me back up because it was the Patriots, but now that Tom Brady left. I've always maintained the fact I'm more of a Tom Brady fan than I was a Patriots fan. So, in turn, I will now become a Buccaneers fan because that's where Brady is going.
I have a lot of thoughts, but the first one is, did you see him file the trademark for Tampa Bay and, like, Tampa Brady or whatever those were?
Those both sound stupid.
I know, they're stupid as hell. Like, he inserted his name in Tampa Bay, and there's a quote from, like, I never understood why, what's the New Orleans quarterback name?
Breeze.
Yeah, why did Drew Brees not sell Drew Orleans shirts? It's on Tom's name, and it's awful. It's like a 12-year-old. It's cringy.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. What is your other point that came up? Because you seemed like you were about to jump through the screen.
No, I was torn in two different directions. I think that, like, you said you can choose who you like, but I think that, like, the fact that you like the Lions is proof that you can't. Like, who would choose to be a fan of a country? That's just completely illogical. They're the only two teams that have gone 0-16. Like, if you could choose your fan base, they wouldn't have any fan base at all.
I would argue that.
Okay, let's see, Trent. I don't know. We've both been Hall directors, right? We've supported a lot of students as they cry.
Right.
Tissues. So if I'm an 18-year-old girl, I'm going to come to you because, like, my boyfriend broke up with me, and I'm super upset about it, and I don't want to be upset about it, but I am. What are you going to tell me?
Well, what I'm going to tell you and what I'm thinking are probably two different things. I'll start out with that.
Okay.
What am I going to tell you?
Yeah. I have this conversation regularly, so I know exactly what I would tell them.
Throw yourself on the spot then.
I mean, I would tell them, like, you can't choose your feelings. They just are.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Right? I should call you during my conversations and just let you have them.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I like to do. I tell people. But also, it comes back to the sports base. You can't choose your feelings, right? Like, sometimes you're just a fan of a crappy team.
Well, I have something to say that's going to take us off base now as well. Is you have said before, or maybe you haven't necessarily said this, but I saw a sign in your office once that stuck with me, and it's something that I used a couple times this year when there were students to use it on, is the three words, and I don't know if I just tell you it's three words, will you know what I'm talking about?
If it's three words, I don't. Are you sure it's not four words?
Now you have me questioning.
It's probably forward.
What do you think it is?
I'm going to say it's this blue and black sign that I've had in every place I've ever lived, every office I've ever had since 2012. And it says, if not now, when?
Yeah.
What word were you leaving out?
No, I didn't even have the words right.
What words did you think it was?
Why not today?
No, I mean, close enough.
Right.
If not now, when? Actually, that phrasing is a Jimmy Eat World lyric. There's a fun fact for you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But that one is like a very similar conversation that I have also had with students. That's why it's above my desk. I can just point at it sometimes. When they tell you, like, I'm going to be better next time, I'm really going to sit down and like buckle down and improve my grades. Like, what are you going to do there, friend?
I like that. Like,
are you going to go home and do that right now? You can go upstairs and do your homework. Like, oh, no, I'll do it later. Like, dude, you've got like a 1.5 GPA. Like, maybe when are you actually going to do it? Let's put a timeline.
Well, and I think that's applicable even outside of college, of anything that you want to do in life. Like, if you want to do something, if not now, when? Why don't you just do it?
Right.
Like your hair.
Exactly. If you don't bleach it today, when are you going to bleach it, Trent?
See, when it grows.
See, that's not a smart goal. I think that's what it is. It's like smart goals, so like specific, measurable, time-bound. I think time-bound is the most important one. Because otherwise it's just too easy to bust stuff off. Like, I'm going to get in shape tomorrow.
Well, I'm answering the question, when? When is when my hair grows?
Yeah, but how long does it have to grow?
I don't have a ruler. I don't know. I don't have a specific length. I'll know when I know.
It's just like
feel right.
It's like the terrible advice that you give people, like, should I marry this person or not? You'll just know. Actually, that's probably pretty good advice. And don't tell if I said that. Don't tell your wife either. Sometimes you do just know. So maybe hair is one of those things.
Well, hopefully they'll skip over that part of the podcast. Alex, I know there's a couple things I wrote down that we didn't talk about at the top that I told you we were going to talk about. One of those is motorcycles. I know that while we were living in the same community together, you went and got your motorcycle license. What got you into riding motorcycles? I'm going to say something, but I could be wrong. I don't feel like that's something just one day you wake up and say, I'm going to ride a motorcycle today. But with you, I don't know, maybe anything's possible.
I would say that I didn't wake up one day and say I wanted to ride a motorcycle, but rather like one night I was many beers deep and wanted to ride a motorcycle. I don't know. I mean, I think they're super cool. So I grew up in basically a cornfield in Ohio. And so I have a moped, which is like a bicycle with a motor. And that thing would be like 25, 30 miles an hour. But it was super awesome. So I think I was like 14. And so sort of being able to like go places and do whatever was like just really cool. And so like being on the motorcycle is kind of similar, I think. You just kind of like, it's a little bit free, I guess. I don't know. That sounds super lame. I'm a fucking Harley head. But it's just a different feel, I think. Like some wind. And they're fucking badass, man. I don't know. It's like, what is like a more iconic Americana, like, badass dude thing, other than shin pads, of course, because I have one of those, is motorcycles.
7 o'clock, as I can hear your chime again.
I know it. When I was younger, my dad had, well, actually still does, he had a bike, and I asked him to teach me to ride it one time. And so he tried, right? And so I don't know if you've actually sat on a Harley, which is what he has and what I have now. But like, they're 700 to 800 pounds. And so they're very heavy. And so I'm learning how to ride them. They're also really loud, which I think everybody logically knows, but like, they're real loud when you're sitting on it if you're not used to it. And like, he had changed his handlebars so they're a little bit thick, right? So I was riding and I'm trying to squeeze the front brake to slow down, but like, my hands ain't big, but like, it's a real long like squeeze. So I'm trying to squeeze the lever in. actually rolled the throttle back, and it was like so loud about cutting my pants. So I came around to do like a circle, and I went to stop it. And if you have like a bicycle handy, like try stopping a bicycle with the handlebars just slightly turned, and like you'll feel like it shifts your balance and tries to throw you either way. And when it's a 750-pound bike, it literally threw me to the ground and burned my leg, and I still have a scar.
Oh my gosh.
And then, of course, my dad, like his everlasting friend to love, he basically looked, are you bleeding? Can you stand up? And he's like, all right, I'm going to ride the bike around and make sure you didn't break it. So I walk home with my burn. It was only across the street, but I just like to talk trash to my father when we break
it. At least you have a story to tell out of it, though.
Yeah. I don't know if my wife knows that story.
She's
I try not to tell too many people, especially if I want to convince them to get on the back of my motorcycle, right? But yeah, it hurt a lot.
Well, that's two things that you don't want to tell your wife from this podcast. Maybe she just didn't listen to this episode.
Well, the first time when I talked about, like, if sometimes you just know, and at first I said that's kind of bad advice, because, like, what does that actually mean? You know, it's decent enough advice.
Well, you got married at Disney, which is not something that everyone gets to do as well.
I know. It was super cool. I try to sell people on it all the time. I think it surprises people a lot. I don't know who all is going to know me and who's not going to listen to this, but like, I have a bunch of ear piercings and my shins tattooed, and like, I'm this dude. I don't want to make one face, but I just love Disney World. And so we were planning our wedding, and like, family is difficult, like trying to figure out who you invite. If you invite this person, do you by extension have to invite this other person? Like, managing family peace and like watching that guest list just grow exponentially. Until one day we said, screw it, let's get married at Disney World, which is my second choice, because like Katie said no to getting married by Elvis in Vegas, but that's her loss. It's also my loss, but you know, I'll go to Vegas some other time. But getting married in Disney World was awesome. Like, we went in the off season, so it was super cheap, but they took care of everything for us. We showed up. Like, we actually got on the airplane in Madison, Wisconsin. When she was there, she had to figure out she didn't need her hair and makeup done. But for me, as a man, I don't wear no hair. I don't do my hair. I don't do makeup. So I got on the plane in Wisconsin, and absolutely everything was taken care of for me until I got off the plane in Wisconsin 10 days later. So, like, our musician, we got a Mickey cake, which was sick.
That's awesome.
I know, it was dope. We got some champagne and stuff. It was amazing. They took our pictures for an hour. And they, you know, like those books that you give toddlers that you want?
Yeah.
Yeah, they give you your pictures in one of those. Ideally, you won't give that to a toddler to chew on, but it's a little more substantial, so you can display it a little better.
So you talked about having to whittle down the guest list. What was your max that you could have when you got married at Disney?
So Disney offers a variety of different packages and price points. The one that we signed up for is actually the smallest, and it's called like the Escape Wedding Package. Actually, that might be the second smallest. And we can have a maximum of 18 people. And
oh, wow.
Under the age of 2 don't count. But even there with 18, I think we only brought like 10 or 11, because it comes to the same issue, right? Like, if you invite this other person, then like by extension, who else has to be invited? So we stuck to my parents, my siblings and their partners, and then her parents and her brother.
What a fun, like, I don't know if experience is the word I want to use, but like, not everyone gets to do that. And so it's so cool that you got to get married at Disney.
I totally agree. I tell people all the time, I'm a Disney princess. It's like working in higher education. Like, they made me do icebreakers all the time, and it's awful. Or we have to do, like, in any large meeting, I'm sitting there with, like, 50-year-old people, like, dudes in, like, full-on suits. And they're like, dude, you choose on a line with everybody. And I'm, like, telling this, like, old dude, like, I'm a Disney princess, but that one's not actually a lie. I got married at Disney World. It's just, like, a slight tickle in my heart.
I know, because I worked at Disney for a brief time, I know their big thing is about just kind of creating that magic and creating those magical moments. As weird as this question is going to sound, did it feel magical? Like, could you tell there was like that Disney touch of like, they wanted to make sure everything was perfect for the both of you throughout the entire process?
Yeah, absolutely. Disney is insane. Like, it is a world that doesn't actually exist anywhere outside that park. Like, it's too perfect. But the whole thing, I think, really was pretty magic. So, like, we contacted them. Like, 2 days later, we got set up with our person. Like, he's going to walk us through the whole thing. They send you the booklet, and, like, you just fill it out and send it back. And, like, they send you, like, these pictures of what it's supposed to look like. And you're like, oh, man, that super stage just with Buttergat, there's no way it's going to be that nice. But it's really pretty much that nice. Like, it's super cool. They sent us little gifts throughout the time, which was just really neat. And it's like a lot of, here's the package, but you can do what you want. So like, we picked a violinist for our Disney providing musician, and like, he'll play like some like standard wedding stuff for you. But like, my family's a lot like me. And so at one point, my grandfather asked the violinist if he could play the song from Pirates of the Caribbean. And he totally could. And it was awesome.
That's awesome.
But they would just do whatever. I think that like, it was really about like, we'll set you up for a traditional wedding and it'll be absolutely beautiful. But if you want to do something bizarre, we'll do something bizarre for you. And that was just really neat.
It's the experience you want, basically.
Yeah. Also, like, wedding dresses are complicated. I'm just going to say that out loud, as you probably know too. Like, why does one piece of clothing have to have so many layers? But I mean, we were outside for the wedding, and at one point, like, Katie looked down, like, there's this like bug that got up like underneath one of her layers. And I was completely lost. I just could not find this thing. Like, thank God for that photographer, because obviously he does weddings all the time. So he was like, oh, you just do it like this. And I got that bug out of there. Pro. He's a pro. Love him.
Do you have a favorite Disney park?
Yes, I do, actually. I said that out loud mostly to buy myself time. I don't know if it's possible to have a favorite Disney park, because they're all amazing. Epcot is like the, like, where else are you going to literally drink around the world?
Right.
The hours, right? I love my booze. But after that, I mean.
Or like really, a ride or an experience or.
Yeah, I think that if I had to say my specific favorite, I would have to go to Animal Kingdom. And like, I loved like turning the corner and like you're just walking to Animal Kingdom and like, big ass tree, like when you're in the Pandora area, because like the whole Avatar section of the park is so cool. Also, especially drinks in that Pandora region are awesome. But it's like mildly dumb, as it's not a thrill ride at all. But I love the Navi River ride.
Yeah, it was fun. They've done, yeah, I mean, they, Disney goes all out, obviously, but they just, literally, to every single detail, it's always awesome to see.
Yeah. One thing that, like, when we were down there, we did Disney and Universal, and, like, we put Universal in the middle. And I don't think I can ever do that. Like, I think you really need to put Universal first. And, like, not that Universal is a bad park. It is also super cool, especially when you're by the world, because that was dope. Like, when you're at Disney World, and it's, like, so perfect. And then you go to Universal, and, like, things that you don't see at home, but you have to see at Universal because they're not at Disney. Like, walking around, like, noticing, like, oh, the paint's kind of faded there. Like, oh, the sidewalk is, like, cracked. Like, I wouldn't actually notice that in my day-to-day life, but like when you're at Disney, which is pristine, I'm like, oh, that's not. And it was weird. Like, it is just too perfect.
What were your thoughts on Harry Potter World? I know you said you liked it. The reason I ask is because Leanne legit cried. Like, Leanne was, tears were streaming down her eyes when she was there. Did either of you cry?
Well, I didn't, because I'm way too grown up and cool for that. Harry Potter World was also really cool. I think that over in the right side, so like the Universal Studios portion, is probably the cooler entrance to Harry Potter World, like where you go through the wall.
Oh, by far. That into Diagon Alley, yeah.
Yeah, I recorded that. I have it on Snapchat. I've actually watched it again since I did it, which is really weird. It's like people who record videos of concerts, like, who are you kidding? You're never going to watch that again. But I saved the Snapchat and I actually watched that again because it was really cool. So I'm that guy. I'm that guy. I'm ashamed. But I'm also not.
Well, in talking about big things such as Disney, I know there was another big thing that you did months ago, which was a Survivor audition. How did that come about?
My friends are awful people. And that's you too, right? Like, people always get me with stuff. Trent goes online and says, hey, who wants to come on a podcast? Like, oh, I wouldn't do that. And so I love Big Brother. Survivor's all right. Like, it's not bad, but I ain't no Big Brother. Who are we kidding? But like I had talked about loosely, like, yeah, I guess I would go audition. Why not? What else do I have to do? And then one day, Taylor Hansen, one of our coworkers, she pointed, she just sent me a text message. She was like, hey, will you come do this? And I was like, well, I have a bunch of vacation time, so sure, why not? Right? That seems like an awesome idea. It's kind of like bleach in your head. Just don't think about it. Get into a cool pool. Someone puts an opportunity in front of you and like, yeah, I'm totally going to do that. Also, it was an awful idea. Not because of Survivor Audition, because Survivor Audition is like really neat. It's like opportunity to ram more in front of the camera, but very similar to what I'm doing now. But I shaved my face in the mutton chops and I wore them like that for like 6 weeks. And I think it was pretty dope. But these kids, man, like these 18-year-olds are brutal, and I got laughed at so much. Like, I don't know how worth it was, especially because I didn't even get picked.
So not worth it, apparently.
No, I do have some stories to tell. It's kind of funny. And, oh, man, actually, my mom knows this, and hopefully, like, we can all – and I've already sworn a few times. So anyway, CBS now has a tape that I signed over the rights to. They have full rights and use of a tape of me rubbing my own nipples through the shirt, so it's not that weird.
How did that come about?
I didn't really rub my nipples so much as like cup my breast in a rubbing motion, like give this full scoop. I mean, you have to sell yourself, right? So I told them like who I am as a person, like why they want you to tell them why are you gonna win Survivor? Why are you the ultimate survivor? And I mean, like, I'm a chunky dude. I got an extra chin. I like a whole lot of extra belly. And so I told him, like, my biggest strength coming into Survivor is, like, look at all this fuel I got. So, like, all my opponents are going to be, like, starving or running out of energy, but I got reserves on tap. And then I cut my own breasts, and that's on film.
I guess whatever you got to do to stand out, right?
I mean, in hindsight, I think that I should have either cupped myself or shaved the mutton chops. Probably not both. But, you know, you live and you learn. So next year, maybe I won't do the mutton chops. Or maybe it's that I only had 2 points instead of 3. So maybe next year I need to have bleached hair, chops, and cup myself.
Just keep adding until they have no choice but to accept you.
Right. And if that doesn't work, the next year I'll go on stilts. Added.
So you got ideas for down the road.
I did. And we're talking about, or we talked about Harry Potter, right? And yeah. We're talking about how you should bleach your head. It's like, what if all that doesn't work, we do blonde hair, you bleach your hair too, on stilts, and you're like duct taped to my back, or I'm duct taped to your back, and we wear like the turban, and like we do like a Professor Quirrell at the end of Sorcerer's Stone reveal of the head on the back of the head.
So are we going to go on to, I would assume we have to go on the show like that too.
Probably, but I think that like, if you think about it, or if you don't think about it too much, there's a major competitive advantage there because a lot of those games take place in the water or they're like throwing challenges. And if they make us play the same way we audition, it's like on stilts, like that is a huge advantage. I think that we're
true.
Like, not ahead.
True, but... I don't know. I see this whole stilts thing not translating well to filming.
Probably not.
You did mention Big Brother, though, and I will say you are probably the biggest Big Brother. Well, you're probably one of the only Big Brother fans I know.
There are dozens of us.
I know, but that's this dedicated where you will sit and watch the live feeds. You'll just plop down in front of the live feeds and put them on the TV and watch them.
Yes.
What got you, how did you get into Big Brother so religiously?
See, I'm telling you, everything goes back to my friends being awful. I was visiting my buddy Jake down in Florida for, again, because I had too much vacation. So I flew down there, and like he watched the previous summer with his family, and like it was about midnight. We watched the premiere. We're like 3/4 of the way through a case of beer because it's Florida and I'm on vacation. He ain't working either. And then he's like, "Oh, dude, we gotta watch the live feeds." And so we waited until 3 a.m. when the live feeds finally came on for the first time last season. And that's the point when I got hooked. I don't know. Like, it was just such a bizarre thing to like see a thing happen in real time and then later on see it happen in the show in the edited version. And like, how truthful was it? Cause like it's reality TV. So it's totally going to be the same on television, but it's not, often it's less cool. Some stuff they tone up, but like there was this one fight in the swimming pool where this dude's sitting there just screaming at a girl in a swimming pool and they actually turned it down on TV. Like that was comedy gold. They ruined it.
Just because you get to see stuff that you don't normally see and there's just the entertainment of watching other people's lives, basically. Oh, so I guess in a way it's almost like people watching.
Yes, it is like an extreme people watching that I can do on my own stoop.
Understandable, since you are a stoop kid.
I know. And also like...
Were you always stoop kid?
Yeah, pretty much.
You've kind of... Your lifestyle? I don't know.
I mean, I believe in respecting my ancestors, right? So, like, my ancestors spent thousands of years perfecting the art of the inside. Like, how do you build a structure? Like, how do you reinforce it, make sure it doesn't fall? Developing drywall and nails. Like, who are you to disrespect all they worked and strived for by going outside? That's just nonsense.
Well, makes it less boring in the quarantine when you can get outside, but that's just my opinion. Alex, so that's all I have for you. So last question I always ask before we wrap up here, what is it that you want people to take away from today's podcast? Whether it's something you talked about, something you didn't talk about, what do you want people to take away from you?
Oh man, do I have to have a life lesson here? I think I have a couple of things that people should take away from any conversation they have with me.
This should be good. Here we go.
The first one is floss your teeth. I didn't floss my teeth for years and I had like 12 cavities and it hurts so bad. So if you don't floss your teeth, start flossing your teeth. That's not a joke. Second thing, if you wear contacts, take your contacts out of them. You can legitimately get an ulcer and those also hurt so bad. So just take them out.
Is that from experience?
It is from experience. It hurt really bad in my head. But it's okay because I don't want the outside anymore. And then the last thing, I think it's the thing that we've talked about a lot. It is the thing that I've repeated. Just do the thing, right?
I like that. I mean, it's very simple. Just do the thing.
Bleach your hair. Go audition for Survivor. Say, screw my whole wedding plan. We'll get married at Disney World instead. Fly to Iceland with your wife. Start a podcast. I don't know. If you can dream it, you can do it. Just do the thing. What's the worst that happens?
I like that. Do the thing. I'm writing that down. Do the thing.
Put it on your wall. Point it out there.
Alex, thank you for coming on the podcast, even though you just volunteered because it was something fun. Look, we talked for a very long time. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for letting me play. Had a good time.
Of course. Alex, I don't know if have you listened to the podcast before?
Yes, I have your shirt. I wear it around all the time.
I know you have my shirt. You're probably like the best walking billboard that I have. Alex, so I don't know if you know this, but you get to do the sign off. Like you're the sign off and that's it. That's how we're going to cut this podcast.
See, I haven't been listening to the interview ones lately. I only listen to the ones that are just you. So how do we want to sign off?
However you want to sign off. It's however you want to make it your own. Just do the thing.
Just do the thing. All right. So I'm super awkward. And so every time my siblings, or actually often to my wife, whenever they like tell me, "Hey, I love you," I always say the same thing. Okay, bye.